Be in Acts chapter 2, just preaching something connected really with our membership renewal today. We're in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, which you'll find on page 1094 in the church Bibles. Thanks, Valerie. Thank you.
Fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is God's word.
Thanks, Valerie. Great. Well, keep that open in front of you. We're going to pray. Let's ask for God's help. And then let's look at this together. Just to say to those of you who are staying in with us in year 6, 7 and above, we do have these sheets out on the desk out there if you want to grab one of those. But let's pray together and ask for God's help this morning. Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you this morning for the opportunity to re-express our commitment to this church. But Father, we thank you more than anything else that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have become members of the church. The universal group of people from all history, all nations who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for him today. Father, please, as we open your word, would you teach us, help us to obey all that Jesus commands us to do. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Well, here's some stats for you, or a question for you. How many hours do you think the average Netflix subscriber watches a day? Anyone got that stat? No one in my household, because we've talked about this week. Anyone know the average hours that a Netflix subscriber? Anyone going to be willing to shout something out? Three, four? Well, man, you guys, I had a much lower expectation than that. The average Netflix subscriber gives 3.5 hours a day's attention to their Netflix accounts. That's quite a lot of TV, isn't it? So they give their attention to 3.5 hours. Okay, here's another one. What about mobile phones? So the average mobile phone user, how much attention does the average person give to their mobile phone a day? 12 hours, that's high. Higher, lower? 25 hours, that's good. There's some problems with the maths there, but we'll work that out. So apparently the average person, the average mobile phone user, gives 4.8 hours of their attention a day to their mobile phone. Now, the phone, you could be doing all sorts of things on the phone, right? So, you know, let's not be too critical. But 4.8 hours a day. Okay, if you're into video games, computer games, what about the average amount of time someone gives attention to a video game in a day? Anyone got any... 6 hours, that's very high. It's actually only 1.5 hours. So the average video gamer gives 1.5 hours of their attention to video games every day. And that's the reality, isn't it? We give, if you were to sort of do a breakdown of our days, we give our attention to all sorts of things, don't we? And all sorts of things demand our attention. So we're caught in this tussle. We want to give our time to things, our attention, and all sorts of things want our attention. And so we're caught in this daily battle of things demanding our attention. Children, emails, phone calls, projects, parents, letters that have piled up that need action. And these are before you start adding in the things we want to give our attention to. So what do you give your attention to? What would your kind of daily, hourly breakdown be for the things that you give your time and your focus and your energy to, your priority to in a day? Now, I start there this morning because actually what I want to do, coming back to this words that we looked at this morning, is I want to spend a little bit of our time this morning just thinking about this little word here, devoted. This word, devoted. They devoted themselves to various things. Now, many of you know that the New Testament was originally written in Greek, not English. And so when you translate from one language to another, you need to pick appropriate words, don't you, to capture what that word meant in its original language. And we translated here, they've made a choice to translate this word devoted. And that's a good word, isn't it? You're committed to something. It's translated, if you read other English translations, it sometimes gets translated continued steadfastly. Unmoved, so they were unmoved from doing these things, or they did it continually to get that sense of this is something they gave themselves to, not just once, but in an ongoing way. They gave themselves to these things. But here's one way of translating this word that really captured me this week. And it's the way of translating it this, that to devote themselves mean they gave their attention to these things. Now that seems very contemporary, isn't it? When we're caught in this world of so many things demanding our attention. To translate this, they gave their attention to these things. You see that actually, if you just want to flick over a page, if you're interested in this kind of thing, chapter 6, verse 4, it's exactly the same word you get here when the apostles are talking about them needing to give their attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. We've got to give this our focus. We've got to give this our mind space and our time and our energy. They devoted themselves. They gave their attention to these things. And in Acts 2, the bit that Valerie read to us this morning, what we're getting in this little reading is a window into the attention-transforming work of the Holy Spirit. A work that the Holy Spirit continues to do today. He transforms the things that we give our attention to on a daily basis. And so we've got to ask really, well, who is this group of people? Who is the Holy Spirit transforming our attention? Well, look at the chapter. Who is the they? They devoted themselves. Well, chapter 2, verse 36, here is a group of people who have just heard the message that Jesus Christ is Lord and Messiah. That he was crucified for their sins and he was raised to life. And as they heard this message, chapter 2, verse 37, they were cut to the heart. They heard the message of Jesus. It convicted them of their own guilt, of rejecting God, rejecting his Savior. And so they asked, well, what should we do? Peter says, verse 38, repent, turn around, and be baptized. Put your trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God living in us, transforming us. And then you'll see verse 41, those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 people. That's the group of people we're looking at. That's the group of people that the Holy Spirit has set to work in them and is transforming the things they give their attention to. And what is it that the Holy Spirit transforms them to give their attention to? Well, it's a very simple sermon outline. You'll see it right there written up here. Four things that the Holy Spirit transforms them into giving their attention to. The first thing is there, the apostles' teaching. The Holy Spirit transforms us into people who give our attention to the apostles' teaching. The L plates on a car. You've seen those everywhere. I've said before from the pulpit, but my eldest is learning to drive at the moment, and my next child isn't going to be far behind him. So our car regularly has L plates on it at the moment as we're driving around Enfield Town. Watch out! But the L plates signal to the rest of the driving world that the person inside the car is giving their attention, hopefully, to learning how to drive. They're giving their time and attention to learning how to maneuver this piece of metal with an engine inside it. They are learners. And the Holy Spirit transforms those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior into a community of people who learn, who are learning the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, becoming a Christian isn't just saving yourself and that's it. Becoming a Christian is learning a way of life, saved by Jesus, living with Jesus as Lord. And having accepted Jesus as Lord, this group of people now wants to learn how to live with Jesus as Lord. And so they gave their attention to learning from the apostles. Now, the apostles that are mentioned here are 12 men that spent particular time and were given particular authority by the Lord Jesus to pass on the truths that he is Savior and he is Lord and all the things that he had taught about how we should live. These were the ones who gave us access to the life and teaching and the story of his death and his resurrection. These are the men who have Jesus' authority to say those things. And it was their teaching that carried special weight. If you look down a verse, just to verse 43, if you've got your Bible there, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. So if we'd have been there, here was some men teaching some stuff about Jesus, and it was backed up with some fireworks that said, you've got to listen to these guys because they are speaking with the authority of heaven. And everyone was in awe. Wow, this is a God thing. That's the apostles. And it is their teaching that has come down to us in the pages of the New Testament. This is the teaching of the apostles. And so look at verse 46. Let's see how this played itself out. Verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. What did it look like for a community to give their attention to the apostles' teaching? Well, it was daily. You notice that? They met together daily in the temple courts. It wasn't just a Sunday thing. For many of us, learning the way of Jesus is pocketed into this little half an hour slot on a Sunday morning. But the Holy Spirit wants to transform us into those who daily give our attention to what the apostles are teaching. It was in a public place, in a big group, a bit like we're in today. But you'll notice that they also did it in small groups. You notice that in their homes. They devoted themselves. They gave their attention to the apostles' teaching. The Holy Spirit moved them to give their attention to what the apostles were teaching, to learning from the Lord Jesus. And whilst that may look different for us today, some of you are thinking, oh, please no, Nathan, don't stop doing church every day. Whilst it may look different for us today, this is the ongoing work of the Spirit in those who have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. He wants us to give our attention to the apostles' teaching, to learning what it looks like to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We must give our attention to learning from the Bible, to the authenticated message of Jesus Christ and all that he taught and all that he did. Do you give your attention to the apostles' teaching? Do we give our attention to the apostles' teaching daily, on Sundays, in small groups? If you're a subscriber to Jesus Christ, how would our daily hours compared to the daily Netflix hours? That's a bit challenging, isn't it? Second, they gave their attention to fellowship. You see that up there on the screen? Look at the words on the Bible as well. Verse 42, they gave their attention to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Or again, in the original, the fellowship. It's a term which means the community. They gave themselves to one another. They gave their attention to one another. Here is a community that now shared Jesus as Lord and Messiah. And the Holy Spirit transformed them to give their attention to one another. Now, we see that in a number of ways. Just follow with me, verse 44. Because that sounds a bit kind of, wow, that sounds a bit like weird. What does that mean, to give our attention to one another? Well, verse 44 says there, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Now, that does not mean that they lived together, but exactly the same phrase in a couple of chapters clarifies it a little bit more, and it means that they were one in heart and mind. They shared faith in Jesus Christ, and they saw themselves as not kind of individuals who are gathering on a club once a week, but they saw themselves as a community that was bonded together. There's that phrase, what's mine is yours and yours is mine. Now, who do you say that to? People you're bonded closely to. And the church began to see themselves as, wow, we are together. We are one in heart and mind because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that led to all sorts of behaviors. Verse 45, if you look there, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. They gave to one another. This was a voluntary act. It wasn't mandatory. No one is standing up the front today to say you have to go and sell some stuff. But because they saw themselves as one, when somebody had a need, they're like, well, I don't need this anymore. I could sell that and meet that need. They were trying to live out what God's people throughout the Old Testament were always trying to do, which was to make sure there was no needy person among them. And that's what their oneness, their fellowship, their community looked like. Verse 46, they shared life together. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They shared life. They shared their homes. They shared food. Do we? The Holy Spirit transformed those who believed in Jesus to give their attention to one another. It wasn't just a club that they came to on a Sunday morning. It was a life thing. It was a community thing. Do we give our attention to one another? Third, they gave their attention to the breaking of bread. Now, in the Jewish context in which this first took place, this little phrase, the breaking of bread, was literally the way they commenced a meal. A bit like a starter's gun in a race. When somebody broke the bread, that was a kind of way of saying, right, this meal is started. So it was simply a way of signaling that they ate together. And you get a gist of that, don't you? You see that a little bit in verse 46. They broke bread together in their homes and ate together. But this little phrase, the breaking of bread, has kind of an overtone in Luke's writing. So the end of Luke's gospel and Luke, who writes the book of Acts, it came to mean the act of remembering the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, it was Jesus who broke bread on the night he was betrayed. And he said, do this very act in remembrance of me. And for this early Christian community, they would very often eat together, but at the end of the meal, they would again break bread, reminding themselves that they are who they are only because of Jesus Christ. They are a community because of him. They are a saved people because of him. There is hope of heaven because of him. And they kept that dead central to community life. The breaking of bread, giving our attention to the breaking of bread, was making sure that they kept the death and resurrection of Jesus at the very heart of community life. No cross, no forgiveness. No cross, no gift of the Holy Spirit. No cross, no community. We might as well pack up and go home. And the Holy Spirit wants us to give our attention to these things, to the breaking of bread, to keeping the death and resurrection of Jesus at the very center of community life. And we can do that in big groups, like we're going to do shortly. And we can do that in small groups. We can do that in our homes. You know, this will have a context for some, but I am not a priest. It's not like I am the only one who can administer this to people. Actually, this is something we can do in our own homes. You have some bread, you have some juice. Remember Jesus. You have some people around for dinner. You know, that would surprise people at the end of the meal, wouldn't it? Rather than kind of whipping out the chocolates, let's have communion together. But that's what the people of God do. That's what we give our attention to, because it's that that fills us with gladness. It's that that brings us joy as we keep Jesus and his death and his resurrection at the center of who we are. We are, friends, what we are this morning only because of Jesus. And so we've got to fight. It is a fight to keep that our priority, to define who we are. Number four, here we go, is the last one. What did they give their attention to? To prayer. They gave their attention to prayer. Or again, this literally reads to the prayers. It's plural, actually. And the reason, again, that this is the case, to the prayers, is because this was originally happening in a Jewish context. You remember the first converts were Jewish people, and they had regular and set times of prayer. You know, a bit like our Muslim friends do, where they have particular times that they set aside each day to pray, and other people do, where there's these kind of set moments, and the Jews were like that. They had set times to pray. And these new followers of the Lord Jesus Christ kept and maintained those regular times of prayer. They wanted to continue calling out to God. And they gave their attention to praying, but now they were doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were doing it with fresh confidence. So here was a group of people. Remember, they're devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. What would the apostles have been telling them? Well, the teachings of Jesus. When you pray, say, "Our Father in heaven." That's what they would have heard from the apostles. And so now this group of people in all these set times of prayer could come before God, the Almighty God, Yahweh, and say, "Our Father in heaven." Of course they devoted themselves to prayer. And they could come before the Father in heaven and say, "Your will be done, your kingdom come." They'd even heard the teachings of Jesus, and this needs qualifying, but they'd heard the teachings of Jesus that said, "You ask anything in my name, and I will give it to you." Wouldn't you want to pray if you'd heard that teaching of Jesus from the apostles? Now that does need qualifying, but you can come talk to me about that. See, no wonder this early group of Christians wanted to pray when they had access to God as Father, and they had access with confidence because of Jesus. Will we pray? The Holy Spirit wants us to give our attention to, our time, our daily time to praying. As a church, will we pray? As individuals, will we pray? Will we pray in big groups? Will we pray in small groups? See, these are the ways that the Holy Spirit shaped the attention of this new community of those who trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it won't surprise you to know that as the church grows from here in the book of Acts, that these things come under threat. Does that surprise you? And so this model that we have here, this kind of early church, this early outworking of the Holy Spirit, is constantly coming under threat. But as the church strives to give our attention to these things, empowered by the Holy Spirit, what happens? Well, have a look at verse 47. So the people were together, they were praising God, and as they were doing this, they were enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What's the impact? Two things. Number one, this community enjoyed the favor of all the people. That means at that time, people were looking on, and they found this way of life very attractive. An old word, it was very charming. You know, people looked on and thought, "Wow, look at those guys meeting in the temple courts. Well, look at these guys looking out for each other. There's no needy person among them." And this became very attractive to the world. They were like, "Wow, this is pretty special what's going on here." Now, we know sadly that attractiveness gives way to persecution later, but it doesn't mean that the community of believers, when they're giving their attention to these things, isn't an attractive thing to some looking on. And second, the thing that happened is that the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. As people saw, as people heard the gospel that was being preached, they believed. And Jesus, now notice that it's Jesus who does the adding to the church. You know, that takes the pressure off a bit, doesn't it? We have to preach, but who is it who's adding to his church? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus was adding people who were being saved. And so let's pray, shall we, that the same's true for us today. As we give our attention to these things, that the Lord would be adding to our number those who are being saved. That people of Enfield Town would say, hey, that's quite attractive. That's quite charming what's going on in that church there. Let's pray, shall we, for the Holy Spirit to empower our witness as we give our attention to these things. Friends, if you were to measure an average week or an average day of what you give your attention to, of what I give my attention to, how does it square with these things here? Are we giving our attention to these things? As those trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, who wants us to be a community of people who are giving our attention to biblical teaching, giving our attention to being a believing community, to being cross-centered in our worship, and who are committed to prayer. And I want to say to you this morning, if you're here and you're not yet part of that community, then the thing I would urge you to do today is ask Jesus. Ask Jesus this morning to add you to those who are being saved. Because that's another description of this group of people. We're a group of people who are being saved by Jesus. And join us. Join us by trusting in Jesus. Let's pray some of that in. And then we'll share the Lord's Supper together. Our God and our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this little description in the book of Acts of the work of the Holy Spirit who moved these first believers to give their attention to these vital things. Father, we know that these things will be constantly under threat in our life as a church, in our lives as individuals. Please, this morning, would you renew our resolve to give our attention to learning from Jesus, to loving one another as a community, to cross-centered worship, and to prayer. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.